Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to TorahMediaAtlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.
It's January the 9th in Hosea, Tresor Hosea. We're in Perek Yud Aleph, chapter 11. Pasuk says, Kinar Yisrael va'ohavehu. When Yisrael was a nar, was young, and I loved him. Umi Mitzrayim korasi livni. And from Mitzrayim I called him to my son, as my son. Hashem says, when you, Klal Yisrael, were in your youth, so I showed love to you, and I called you from Mitzrayim as my son. Pasuk Beis Karu Lahem, they called to them, meaning the Nevi'im, called to Klal Yisrael. Kain Halchu Mipneihem, just as they were called, they so too went away from Hashem, from the Nevi'im. As much as the Nevi'im called them, instead the Jews ran in the opposite direction. La Be'olim Yezabechu, to the Ba'olim, which is an Avodah Zarah, they would offer sacrifices. V'la Pesilim Yekaterun, and they would offer burning incense or whatever it is to the idols. V'anochi Sirgalti LeEphraim, I led Ephraim. Kacham Al Zro Osav, I had their leader take him, Ephraim meaning the Jewish people, take him on his arms, meaning to carry him. V'lo yadu ki refasim, and they did not know that I had healed him. The simple meaning is, this is a reference to Moshe Rabbeinu, who was told to carry the Bnei Yisrael kasha yisaha omenes hayonek, like the one who is rearing the child carries the nursing child in their arms. So too I had their leader, Ephraim's leader, carry him, and yet he did not behave that way. He did not behave like he was being helped or being taken care of. B'chavlei adam em shechem, with the ropes of man I will draw him. Ba'avosos ahava, with the chains of love, meaning that I drew Ephraim to me with love. Va'ayelahem kimrime ol alechehem, and I was to them like those who lift the yoke off of them. There's a complex description in Rashi of how a plow works with a team of oxen, and how the one who drives the plow, drives the oxen, can have the yoke sitting in a manner that it is pressing on the oxen, and it is either painful or uncomfortable, or he can insert certain pieces along the sides of the heads of the oxen that lifts the yoke up, and even though it still acts as a yoke to keep the oxen in the right path, but it does not press on them in a painful or uncomfortable way. So I was to the Jews like the one who lifts the yoke from upon the oxen. Va'at elav ochil, and I turned to him. I turned for him. Ochil. Now, ochil, it sounds like the word ochel, which means food, and that's the way the Targum says it over here. That it means, and I provided food for them in the midbar, in the wilderness. I gave them the man. I took care of them. It could also mean that I gave them the ability. Ochil can also mean to absorb something. I gave them the ability to handle any of the troubles that they went through. This would be a reference, if you translate it that way, to the concept that in HaKadosh Baruch Hu ba b'trunya im briyosav, that Hashem does not come with trickery against His creations, which means that people often say this way, that Hashem does not give a person a challenge that they cannot handle, which means that although He does challenge us, He does give us also the ability to handle those challenges. Lo yashuv el eretz Mitzrayim. I guaranteed they would not go back to Mitzrayim. I set things up, they should get out of Egypt and not go back. But what good was it? Va'ashur hu malko. Now Ashur is his king. Instead of going to Mitzrayim, so they ran the other way to Ashur. They went to Assyria. Ki me'anu lashuv, because they refused to return to me, and therefore they had to go to Ashur. They've been subjugated by the Assyrian king. This is a reference to Sancheriv. V'chala cherev bi'arav, so the sword has now come upon their cities. V'chilsa v'adav, and it has consumed their strong ones. V'achala, and destroyed. Mimo atso sehem, from their own designs, from the way they behaved, so therefore the sword came against them. Ve'ami slu'im lim shuvasi, and my nation, they are tlu'im. Tlu'im is somebody who is waffling, is not sure what they want to do. Maybe this way, maybe that way. That's the way they're acting when it comes to returning to me. They're not running back to me. They're considering it. They're not sure. Ve'al al yikra uhu yachad lo yiromein, and that this is actually a difficult phrase to translate. Ve'al al yikra uhu, but the way Rashi renders it is, and on that which I call them, meaning just to return to me, yachad lo yiromein, together they do not rise up. They don't have a concerted effort to come back to me. Instead, it's a few individuals here, a few individuals there, but they're not rushing back to me. But nevertheless, despite this, Hashem says the following, Eich etencha Ephraim, how can I give you over, Ephraim? Hashem says, I can't do it. As much as you really deserve it, to be given over to the enemies, how can I give you over, Ephraim? Emagencha Yisrael, how could I cause you, Yisrael, to be given over to your enemies? Eich etencha ke'adma asimcha kitzvoim, how could I put you like Adma and place you like Tzvoim? Adma and Tzvoim are two of the cities that were with Sodom. Sodom, Amora, Adma, and Tzvoim were in their cities number 3 and 4. So they're being referenced over here. How could I make you like those cities? Ne'apach alai libi, my heart is turned over upon me. Yachad nichmeru nichumi, together my pity, my mercy has been aroused. Although the pasuk of Havein Yakir Li Ephraim, which we say on Rosh Hashanah, we quote on Rosh Hashanah, that pasuk is not here. That pasuk is in Yeshaya, but this is a similar pasuk. Hashem says, despite all that's happened, all they've done, how could I give you over, Ephraim? How could I punish you in that way? My heart is turned over within me. My mercy is aroused. Lo e'eseh haron api, I will not do what my anger would say to do. Lo ashuv l'shaches Ephraim, I will not return to destroy Ephraim. Ki kel anochi v'lo ish, because I am God, I am not a man. And since I guaranteed that you are my people, that's not going to change. Bekir becha kadosh v'lo avo bi'ir, in your midst is sanctity, and I will not come into the city. So the Gemara is bothered by this phrase, Bekir becha kadosh, in your midst is sanctity, and I will not come into the city. Why would he not come into the city if there is sanctity in your midst? So one way to explain it is that I won't go into any other city. I will remain in Yerushalayim. I won't go to a different city. I won't trade you in for a different country. Or ir can also mean destruction, like the pasuk says, aru aru, which means destroy, destroy. So it could mean also, I will not come to destruction, meaning to destroy the Jewish people. There is another Gemara that says that that Hashem says, Lo avo b'Yushalayim shalmala ad she'avo l'Yushalayim shalmata. Hashem says, I will not come, the Gemara in Tainus says, I will not come to Yushalayim in Shamayim until I come into Yerushalayim that's down here. The Gemara tells us there is a Yerushalayim Shalmala, just like there's a Yerushalayim Shalmata. The Yerushalayim Shalmala, there is a Yerushalayim in Shamayim that corresponds to the Yerushalayim here. There is a Mikdash Shalmala that corresponds to the Mikdash here. There's a Beis HaMikdash in Shemaim as well. These are real things. These are not concepts. Just as there really is a Kisei HaKavod, there's a throne, and there's a Merkava, there's a chariot. Of course, the throne and the chariot that we're talking about are not physical things, and therefore we don't really have the vocabulary to describe a spiritual item, since we've never had experience that we can recall with a spiritual thing. We don't have the vocabulary. All of our vocabulary is physical. We don't have a spiritual vocabulary, so we always have to borrow terms and borrow imagery from physical things to depict spiritual things. So Yerushalayim Shalmala, Yerushalayim upstairs, there is a place called Yerushalayim in Shamayim. It doesn't have physical buildings. It's a spiritual place. But the best that we can do is use the imagery of a special place, just as there is here. There's a special place where the Shekhinah is more pronounced, and where Hashem says He dwells forever, and where the Beis HaMikdash would be built. There is that place here. There is also a place in Shamayim, a place that is special, that is more pronounced. The Ruchnius of Hashem is more pronounced, whatever that means. The Shekhinah of Hashem is more pronounced. And that Yerushalayim Shalmala corresponds to the Yerushalayim here. And just as Hashem kivyachol, so to speak, Hashem's preference is to dwell in Yerushalayim here, so too kivyachol, so to speak, His preference is to dwell in Yerushalayim upstairs. Hashem says, Lo avo b'Yerushalayim shalmala, I will not come into Yerushalayim in Shamayim, ad sha'avo l'Yerushalayim shalmata, until I come to Yerushalayim, that is the one down here. Hashem says, kiviyachol, so to speak, I am myself in Golus. I am myself exiled from Yerushalayim in Shamayim, as long as I am exiled from Yerushalayim in the earth, down here, in Olam Hazeh. And Hashem says that whatever that means, that the Shechinta is begalusa, that the Hashem Shechina is in Golus, whatever that means, but Hashem is saying that somehow He is Imo Anochi Vitzara, He is sharing the pain of Klal Yisrael in not going into Yerushalayim Shalmala, as long as He is not in Yerushalayim Shalmata, because we are not there and we don't have the Beis HaMikdash. We know that when Hashem appeared to Moshe Rabbeinu in the Sneh, in the burning bush, we know that Chazal tell us why a Sneh. A Sneh is a bush. You would have thought that Hashem, in His grandeur, would have appeared in something, if He had to appear in a growing item to Moshe Rabbeinu that would burn and not be consumed, you would have expected that He would have done it in some large, majestic plant, a tree, a very large tree, a very large, something beautiful, something large. But instead He appears in this humble little bush to Moshe Rabbeinu. And Chazal tell us why? Because Imo Anochi Vitzara, because Hashem is with us in our pain. Hashem says, if Klal Yisrael is in Mitzrayim, and Klal Yisrael is diminished, then I am, kivyachol, so to speak, diminished as well. Or I will diminish myself as well. Of course, Hashem, it's impossible for Hashem to be diminished. That, by definition, cannot happen. But it means that the way that Hashem expresses Himself in this world is in a diminished stature, to mimic His children, to mimic our pain. Here as well, we find that Hashem says, since there is sanctity among you, I will not come into this city. I will not go into Yerushalayim Shalmala as long as I am not able to be in Yerushalayim Shalmata. Now this was said, Hosea says this, when there is a Yerushalayim Shalmata. There is a Yerushalayim, there is a Beis HaMikdash. This is during the first Beis HaMikdash. But Hashem is saying that in the event that there wouldn't be a Yerushalayim Shalmata, a Beis HaMikdash here, then I will not enter into Yerushalayim upstairs. I am bound to what happens in the physical world. That is the way I am going to behave, kivyachol, so to speak, in the spiritual world.
Why is it saying that, after it saying that there is Kedusha, then I'm not going to...
Because of Klal Yisrael, of their Kedusha, and because of my, again, my love for Ephraim, and how I do not want to destroy. Therefore, no matter what happens, in the event that there's going to have to be something, some destruction, I will not go into Yerushalayim Shalmala. When this is being said, he is in Yerushalayim Shalmala, because there is a Yerushalayim Shalmata at this time. But he's saying that because of that love and connection that I have with Ephraim, then in the event that they wouldn't be in Yerushalayim Shalmata, then I can't be in Yerushalayim Shalmala either.
So the Kedusha here is talking about the love and connection.
Yeah, yeah. But that love and connection, of course, is due to the innate Kedusha that we have.
But we know that Hashem is everywhere. Like you said, he can't be diminished, which means he can't not be somewhere. He's always everywhere. Is it just our sensing him?
It's the way that he expresses himself, the way that he makes his presence known. What does it mean, Hashem is everywhere? Melochal ha'aretz kevodo. It's hard to know what that means, Hashem is everywhere. Without going down that road, because I don't really understand it fully myself, but my Rosh Yeshiva of Weimar Racha was not fond of the children's song, Hashem is here, Hashem is there, Hashem is truly everywhere. He did not like that song. Did not feel that accurately gave a picture to children of how to understand Hashem being everywhere. Because he used to say, so what does that mean? It means I'm stepping on Hashem? Because he's on the floor too? He didn't like that.
No, but like you just said, like if we're in pain or we're in exile, he's kind of going with us, right? So if there's Jews that stayed in Jerusalem, he would obviously still be with those.
But it means us as a whole, the main body of the Bnei Yisrael. But anything about Hashem is going to be the way that he is allowing himself to be perceived. That's what it's going to be. It's not going to be anything innate. His essence is beyond us, no matter what. It's always going to be his expression. Pasuk Yud. Verse 10, Acharei Hashem yelchu ki aryei yishag. After Hashem they will go like a roaring lion. Ki hu yishag, for he will roar. V'yecherdu vanim miyam, and the children will tremble from the west. This is a reference to coming back from Golus, believe it or not, that Hashem will roar like a lion, and the children in the west will tremble to follow Hashem back. This is a nice pasuk for us because we're in the West. but it's a pasuk about how when it is time to return, then Hashem will roar like a lion, kiviyachol, and we will follow him back. And then the pasuk continues, Yecherdu chitzipor mi Mitzrayim, they will tremble like a bird from Mitzrayim, uchiyona me'eretz Ashur, and like a dove from the land of Ashur, v'ushavtim al batehem ne'um Hashem, and I will return them to their homes, or on their homes, so says Hashem. Gemara tells us that this pasuk of after Hashem, they will go, he'll roar like a lion, is also a hinting to the story of Daniel being thrown into the lion's den, because the way the Medrash says it is that Daniel, who was a descendant of David HaMelech is from Yehuda, and Yehuda is compared to a lion. So Hashem, who roars like a lion, will come to the lion, that's Daniel, and save him from the lions. That's what the Gemara says over there. The Midrash says about the Aryeh, the reference to the lion and the connection between David HaMelech, really, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So here we begin to have, as I mentioned to you, that Hosea is now speaking more about Hashem's love for us, despite the fact that there certainly are some scathing psukim here as well, but still Hashem is saying that I cannot forsake Ephraim, I cannot forsake Klal Yisrael, that I am going to, even if there has to be a Golus, I'm going to follow them into Golus, and I'm going to also take them out. If you go back to Pasuk Gimel, to verse 3, V'anochi sirgalti le'Ephraim kacham al zro'osav. So we translated that as, I will lead Ephraim. I had them taken on his arms, meaning the arms of the one who was leading them, Moshe Rabbeinu. But v'lo yadu ki refasim, they did not know that I had healed them. They didn't know, they weren't, did not take heed of the fact that I was leading them, that I had them being led. And the next pasuk, I had them being led. B'chavlei adam em shechem ba'avosos ahava. I had them drawn with the ropes of man, with the chains of love. And I lifted the yoke from upon them. But they didn't react this way. Chazal tell us, and Rashi quotes this in Parashas Vayechi, that this is a reference as well to the story of Yosef and his sons, Ephraim and Menashe. And that when he brought them to get the bracha from Yaakov, the famous story, Sikel es Yadav, when Yaakov switches his hands. But before that point, we know that Yosef brought his sons to Yaakov, and Yaakov tells Yosef that Ephraim and Menashe kiruven v'shimon yuli. Ephraim and Menashe, they will be for me like tribes, like Reuven and Shimon, that I'm going to give a bracha to your sons. And then, after saying that, before giving them a bracha, the pasuk says, Vayar Yisrael es b'nei Yosef. Yaakov saw the sons of Yosef. Vayomer mi elen. He said, who are these? Which doesn't seem to make any sense in the context of the psukim. He was just talking about Ephraim and Menashe. He knew, even though he had trouble seeing, but he knew that Yosef was there with his sons. So then it says, he saw them and he said, who are these people? What do you mean, who are these people? You know who they are. They're your grandsons. And he's been talking about them in the psukim that preceded this pasuk. So Chazal tell us that Yaakov Avinu saw in Ruach HaKodesh that even though Ephraim and Menashe were great tzaddikim and that they were going to have great tzaddikim come from them, however, they would also have some terrible Rishayim come from them. And that from Ephraim would come Yeravam ben Nevat, who was a terrible Rasha, and also Achav, who was also a terrible Rasha, would come from Ephraim. And from Menashe would come, I don't remember. And from Menashe would come, oh, excuse me, fly out over here. I'm sorry. I should remember this.
Is that
Chizkiyahu's
son?
Who's it? No. This is Menashe, Yosef's son. Right. Chizkiyahu's son was from Yehuda.
Sorry.
Right. Rashi tells us, Bikesh Levarcham, he wanted to give them a bracha, and he stalka shchina mimenu. The shchina left him. Lefisha as Yeravam va'achav lotzeis me'Ephraim, because Yeravam and Achav would come from Ephraim. V'yehu ubanav mi'Menashe, Yehu ben Nimshi, and his sons would come from Menashe. So he saw in Ruach HaKodesh that there would be these Rishayim would come from Ephraim and from Menashe. So the shchina left Yaakov Avinu. Vayomer mi'Ela, he said, who are these? He didn't mean, who are these two people in front of me, who are Ephraim and Menashe? Meheichan yatsu elu, where did these people come from? She'enan ru'i and lebracha. They're not fit to get a bracha. These terrible Rishoyim were going to come from Ephraim and from Menashe. I'm about to give them a bracha, but they don't deserve to have a bracha. Who are these? So the pasuk says after that, that Yosef responds, Vayomer Yosef at Laviv, Banai heim, they are my sons. Ashenasan li Elokim bazeh, that Hashem gave me with this. Rashi tells us, Heralo shtar erusin ushtar ksuba. He showed the document of erusin and ksuba, the marriage documents. He showed them to his father, of his marriage to Asnas. Ubikesh Yosef rachamim al hadavar. Yosef asked for mercy on this thing. He davened. V'nacha alav Ruach HaKodesh, and the Ruach HaKodesh returned to Yaakov. Vayomer, so Yaakov said, Kachem na elai, take them to me, va'avarachem, and I will give them a bracha. Rashi tells us, Vayomer, Kachem na elai va'avarachem, bring them to me and I will give them a bracha. Zeh shamar akasuf, this is what the pasuk means, V'anochi tirgalti le'Ephraim, Kacham al zro osav. The pasuk we just had in Hosea, that I tirgalti le'Ephraim. Rashi says tirgalti ruchi b'Yaakov. I made my ruach, my spirit. I made it. regular. I made it accustomed to be in Yaakov. I led it into Yaakov. Bishvil Ephraim, on behalf of Ephraim, and Shalokhan al Zroosav, until he took them on his arms. The language of Kacham that we have here in Hosea, that they were taken on his arms, and the language here in Vayechi where it says, Kachem na'elai, take them to me. So the Medrash tells us that the two psukim are linked. So the way to read the pasuk is, Vanochi sirgalti le'Ephraim, I put my Ruach HaKodesh, I put my divine presence, I put it into Yaakov, le'Ephraim, on behalf of Ephraim. Kacham al zro'osav, until he took them on his arms, that he should give them a bracha. Meaning, even though Ephraim, and this is literally Ephraim, the Ephraim, even though Ephraim, there was an element within Ephraim that did not deserve that there be a bracha. After all, the Shekhinah left Yaakov Avinu when it became clear that there would be Rishayim that would come from Ephraim. So the Shekhinah left Yaakov. But when Yosef davened for Rachmanus, for mercy, then Hashem brought the Ruach HaKodesh back to Yaakov Avinu, even though there was an element that didn't deserve that. Nevertheless, it came back to Yaakov Avinu in order that Ephraim get the bracha and be taken on the arms of Yaakov. Now, we're going to discuss this in greater detail. I want to just give you one more insight into the next pasuk before we talk a little bit more about this point. The Gemara tells us that really there had been, as you know, in the Bris Ben Abisarim, in the covenant with Avram Avinu, there was a nevuah that Avram's children would be taken into Golus, that they would have to serve Arbameos Shana, that they would work for 400 years. The Gemara tells us that Roy Haya Yaakov Avinu, Yaakov Avinu was fit, that he should have been dragged to Mitzrayim in chains. Because the pasuk tells us that there's going to be a long and difficult Golus. Golus is not a fun thing. Golus, we of course understand that the Jews were in Egypt for a long time and they worked very hard. But usually getting from where one is to Golus is not a pleasant process. Usually it's a forced move, as the Jews were taken to Bavel in chains. And that's what should have happened to Yaakov Avinu, that he should have been taken to Mitzrayim in chains. The pasuk tells us, "Ki ger yezaracha be'eretz lahem," your children will be sojourners in a land not their own. Va'avadum ve'inu osam, they will serve them, they will be afflicted by them. Arbameos shana, 400 years. Yaakov Avinu should have been dragged to Mitzrayim in chains. That's what should have happened. But instead, Hashem brought Yaakov to Mitzrayim, b'chavlei Adam, with the ropes of man, emshachem, I will draw him, b'avosos ahava, with the chains of love. Why did Yaakov come to Mitzrayim in the end? Because Yosef was in Mitzrayim. Out of the love of Yaakov wanting to see his son Yosef, who he had missed for 22 years, and finally having the opportunity to see Yosef, as he himself says, Ra'o fanecha lo filalti, I didn't even think I'd ever get to see your face. Behold, Hashem has shown me even your children. I thought I would never see you again. And not only do I get to see you, I get to see your children as well. Yaakov Avinu sees himself as fortunate in being able to come to Mitzrayim to be able to see Yosef. So even though it was the beginning of Golus, and Yaakov knew it was the beginning of Golus, Yaakov was not fooled. He understood full well that this was Hashem's way of getting the Jews to Golus. And that's why before Yaakov dies, he says to his children that, I'll read it to you, that even as he is dying, first he says to Yosef, Vayomer Yisrael al Yosef, Hinei Anochi Meis, behold, I'm about to die. Vayomer Elokim Imachem, again, will be with you. Vayishiv Eschem El Eretz Avoseichem, he will return you to the land of your ancestors. Yaakov knew they were stuck in Mitzrayim. He was aware of that. He was not being fooled over here. He understood. And then before he dies, and he tells them to bury him in the Maras HaMachpelah, but he knows full well that this is the Jews are going to be stuck in Mitzrayim. So he knows that. Nevertheless, Yaakov came to Mitzrayim willingly and with a certain degree of anticipation, being able to see Yosef. Vatechi ruach Yaakov avihem. Yaakov had lost his ruach hakodesh for 22 years in his sadness over the loss of Yosef. And now he would get to see Yosef. Hashem says, I arrange things in a way that although there had to be a galus, it was going to be bechavlei adam, with the ropes of man. Yaakov would be drawn down by the pull of his son, of his desire to see his son, ba'avosos ahava, with the chains of love, rather than physical chains being chained and dragged down to Mitzrayim. That's part of the chesed that Hashem does with Yaakov Avinu in the way that we ended up in Mitzrayim. Based on that context, now let's go back to Pasuk Gimel and understand what's happening here in Vayechi. What is happening with Ephraim and Menashe, with the Shekhinah, and with the fact that there would be Rishayim coming from Ephraim? This time that Hosea is prophesying during this time, we know that the big issue is the northern kingdom is not behaving properly, and the northern kingdom is spiraling down. Those Rishayim that were spoken about have already come into being. Yeravam ben Nevat set the northern kingdom on a very bad path, and Achav made it much, much worse. And Hosea is saying his nevuah during this time. Ephraim, when the Ephraim is going to go into Galus, Ephraim refers specifically to the northern kingdom, and Ephraim is going to go into Galus well over 100 years before the southern kingdom, before Yehuda goes into Galus. And it is because of the Averos that were brought about by the leadership, primarily by Yeravam ben Nevat and by Achav, and secondarily by Yehu as well, who comes from Menashe. And so when Yaakov is about to give Yosef's sons brachos, these brachos are not just a nice bracha. They are a special bracha that gives Ephraim and Menashe the status of Shvatim. Kiruvein v'Shimon, they're now going to have the status of Shvatim and of tribes. So he wants to give them this bracha. And the Shekhinah leaves him because of the Rishayim who are going to come from Ephraim and Menashe. The Shekhinah leaves Yaakov Avinu. The Shekhinah had been with Yaakov Avinu for the past 17 years. The Shekhinah had left Yaakov Avinu once before. Yaakov knew what it meant to lose the Shekhinah. He had lost the Shekhinah for 22 years when Yosef, he thought was dead, but was really sold into slavery. And he was sad and lost the Shekhinah for 22 years. Yaakov knew what it meant to lose the Shekhinah. It was a very painful experience, and Yaakov understood that. For the past 17 years, the Shekhinah has resided with Yaakov. And now he knows that his days are numbered. He's at the end of his life. And he's prepared to take this special bracha, the bracha of having two more tribes, which he knows about. Because Hashem told him, Goy ukahal goyim yamimeka. You will have a nation and then a group of nations. A nation is one, a group of nations is two more. There would be three nations that would come from you that have not yet come from you, Hashem told Yaakov Avinu. That was right before Binyamin was born. So one, Goy, refers to Binyamin. But the Kahal Goyim, this group of nations, two more nations would come from you. Who is that referring to? Yaakov says, I didn't have any more sons. I waited until this time of my life because maybe I would have more sons. And that's what the Nevuah was talking about. But I didn't have any more sons. Therefore, I understood that that Hashem was telling me that one of my current sons would split into two, that there would be two tribes that would come from one of my current sons, and I am choosing to give that bracha to you, Yosef. It is the bracha of Bechora, of the firstborn, that you get a double portion. You will have two tribes from you rather than one. So now Yaakov is about to bestow that bracha, which is his right to bestow. Hashem told him about it years earlier, that he would have the ability to give this bracha. He's about to give this bracha, and the Shekhinah leaves him. He sees Rishaim coming from Ephraim and Manasseh, and the Shekhinah leaves him. And it's just like last time, the Shekhinah left him. But last time, it left him because he thought he lost Yosef for good. And it turned out he didn't lose Yosef for good, and it left him for 22 years. Now the Shekhinah leaves him. There's no physical separation here. There's a spiritual separation. And now Yaakov is bewildered. And Yaakov says, have I lost you again? Before it was a physical loss. Have I lost you spiritually? Are you lost to me forever? Just like I thought before, you were lost to me forever. And I lost the Shekhinah. Now I am afraid that you are lost to me forever spiritually. What Yaakov Avinu is afraid of is, yes, Ephraim and Manasseh are great tzaddikim, and they're going to do great things. Ephraim is going to have Yehoshua come from him, and who's going to have a Nesor, he's going to have the sun stand still. And he's going to teach Torah to Klal Yisrael. Menashe is going to have Gidon come from him. Hashem is going to do great nes through Gidon. Ephraim's progeny is greater than Menashe's. That's why he switches his hands, because he sees Yehoshua is coming from Ephraim, and that makes him switch his hands. But still, this greatness that he sees, but then he sees the terrible Rishayim. What is that going to mean? Does it mean there's going to be greatness, and then it's all going to be lost? And will I lose you forever? That ultimately, the descendants of Ephraim, descendants of Yosef, will be gone forever. That is what Yaakov is afraid of. We learned before that the Chashmonaim were lost forever. For all their greatness in the Hanukkah story, they ended up being lost forever. Yaakov is afraid that Ephraim, Yosef, is going to be lost forever. And Yosef davens about this. First, he pulls out the documents of the marriage between him and Asnas, the Shtar Erusin and Ksuba. We'll talk about that in a moment. And he shows them to Yaakov. He says that I'm married to Asnas, and this is the children come from that marriage. And then he says, and he davens, and the Shekhinah comes back to Yaakov Avinu, and Yaakov Avinu gives the bracha to Ephraim and Manasseh, despite the fact that there are Rishayim who are going to come from them, Yeravam, Achav, Yehu, they're going to come from Ephraim and Manasseh. That doesn't change over here. But he still gives them the bracha. Why? I thought that bracha couldn't be given because of the Rishayim. But the Shekhinah was with Yaakov. The Shekhinah left Yaakov. The Shekhinah returned to Yaakov. Yaakov Avinu says, I see there's greatness that will come from Ephraim and Manasseh. There will be Yehoshua. There will be Gidon. Greatness. And the Shekhinah will be with the Bnei Yosef. And then there will be Rishayim. And the Shekhinah might leave the Bnei Yosef. Achav, Yeravam, Yehu. But ultimately the Shekhinah will return to the Bnei Yosef. The Gemara says, the Aseres HaShvatim, the 10 tribes, which is the northern kingdom, what happened to them? They're gone. We don't know where they are. Will they ever come back? Will we ever have them back? And here you have a nevuah that there will be a return of the Aseres HaShvatim. That for all of the evil that the northern kingdom did, and for that reason, the Shechina left Yaakov Avinu, but Yosef davened and enabled the Shechina to come back to Yaakov, which means that the bracha is deserved, that Ephraim and Manasseh are true Shvatim, and that ultimately there will still be a time when the Aseres HaShvatim will rejoin the Jewish people. Yosef does two things. He shows Yaakov the shtar, the document, two documents, of Erusin and the document of Ksuba, and then he also davens. What are these documents, the document of Erusin and Ksuba? We know that when a Jewish couple gets married, there's two steps to that marriage. There is Kiddushin, which is also called Erusin, and then there is Chuppah. Two different steps. The Kiddushin is when the chasan puts the ring on the kala's finger and says, Hareat Mikudeshes Li, and they are then married. However, at that moment, although they are married, and she is a married woman, and at that point, she's off limits to all other men. However, the couple may not live together in the same house at that point. That is still prohibited, because they have not yet had chuppah. Chuppah we call the canopy, which is a form of chuppah. But chuppah, really, there's a debate over when the chuppah actually happens. Is the chuppah the canopy, or is the chuppah the yichud room? Whatever it is, there is a chuppah, a second stage called nisuin, that happens in a Jewish wedding. In the time of the Gemara, these two stages happened a year apart. The chasan would put the ring on the kala's finger and say, Hareat Mekudeshes Li. And then the two would prepare themselves for the next year, for the next stage of marriage. She would not leave her father's home. She would still be in her father's home. They would not be living together. And for the next year, they would prepare themselves for marriage. And then they would have chuppah, and the marriage would be complete. And then they would live in the same home. We don't do that. For many reasons, that practice has changed. But we do both ceremonies under the chuppah. That's what we do it today. That is the reason for the reading of the ksuba under the chuppah. You ever wonder why they read that ksuba? It seems to be such a mundane thing. The ksuba is not a beautiful document. It is all about obligations. There's nothing in there about love or about romance or about how special their marriage is. It has nothing to do with that, although some rabbis may make it seem that way in their speech under the chuppah, but that is not what the ksuba is about. It's a very mundane thing. Why is it that we call up someone to read the ksuba? That's in order to separate between the two ceremonies, between the kiddushin and the nisuin. That's the purpose of it. And that's why you have two borei pre-hagafens under the chuppah, because the first one is for the kiddushin, the second one is for the nisuin. That's why the chasan and kala drink twice. Once for the first borei pre-hagafen, which is the kiddushin, and once for the second one, which is for the nisuin. Yosef shows Yaakov Avinu the shtar erusin, the document of their betrothal, of the erusin. The erusin is the kiddushin, is that first step, and he shows him the ksuba. The ksuba is the document that obligates him to his wife, which typically becomes obligatory with the nisuin, with the second stage of marriage. The Rambam writes that we, Jews, have two steps in our marriage. That's what it takes to become married. We have two steps, the kiddushin and the nisuin. But for non-Jews, that is not the case. Non-Jews do not have two steps in their marriage. Non-Jews, in order for a woman to be considered to be married, all it takes is that a man and a woman choose that she will be designated to him. when he designates her as his wife and she acquiesces to that designation, and she and he move in together, they are considered halachically married. And at that point, she is off limits to any other man at the pain of death, just like a Jewish married woman. There's no kiddushin. There's no first step. It's just designating her. The kiddushin comes from the word kadosh, sanctity. Hashem gave us a previous step where there is a sanctity in designating one person to another prior to the ultimate marriage itself. That is a sanctity that we have because of our status, because of who we are. Because marriage for us is much more than two people deciding to live together. It's building something huge. It's building something eternal. And Yosef was in Mitzrayim. Yosef was not married when he left Yaakov Avinu. He was single. And we all know that Yosef had tremendous struggle and challenge in this area of sanctity with the wife of Potiphar. And no one should be challenged the way he was challenged. Yosef becomes Yosef HaTzadik. He earns the title of Tzadik because of how he handled Eshes Potiphar, the wife of Potiphar. We all know that. Yosef says to his father, Ephraim and Menashe, I, Yosef, went through incredible struggle. I went through a battle, a pitched battle with my Yetzer Hara. I was one who was pit peit be Yitzro. I had to fight my Yetzer Hara like no one ever had to fight their Yetzer Hara. And I managed to overcome that incredible, powerful adversary. And when I had these children, they are after marrying Asnas, not like a non-Jew marries, but like a Jew marries, with Erisin, with Kiddushin, with Chuppah, with Ksuba, the way it's supposed to be done. I brought sanctity into my relationship. And these boys are born from that. And therefore, they deserve, just as any of your other sons, they deserve to be Shvatim. No matter what's going to come from them, and it's true, they may stray, just like all the Jews may stray, but they still are loyal to Hashem. Ultimately, they are Hashem's people. And Yosef davened, and Hashem listened to Yosef's tefillah and said, Yosef is correct. His davening, I accept. And I bring my Shechina back to Yaakov Avinu. Anochi sirgalti le'Ephraim kacham al zro'osav. I want this bracha to be given to Yosef's children. Even if they will stray, they will ultimately come back. The Jewish people are betrothed, wedded to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in all manner of sanctity. And no matter what happens, He does not forsake us, we do not forsake Him, we are always connected to Him. Although this is being said about Ephraim and the 10 tribes, and we are not from them, although some of us may be remnants of those 10 tribes, the Gemara tells us that in the days of Yoshiyahu HaMelech, Yirmiyahu brought back some elements of the 10 tribes, and Yoshiyahu ruled over all of them. That's why there's a pasuk that says that there was a carbon Pesach that Yoshiyahu did with all of Klal Yisrael, because there were members of all the tribes there, and therefore in Golus it wasn't just Yehuda and Binyamin and Levi that were in Golus. There were elements of the 10 tribes, but they were significant minorities. So in any given person who does not know that they are either a Kohen or a Levi is probably from Yehuda or Binyamin. However, we could be from other Shvatim. It is possible. So even though we are primarily not from the 10 tribes, nevertheless, this entire point is speaking about the Jewish people. We are also currently in Galus. And if we are currently in Galus, it means that we are not living up to our mission. We're not living up to our job. We are still have not deserved to be taken back. But no matter how bad things have ever been, and no matter how far we have strayed, Yosef's tefillah to HaKadosh Baruch Hu was accepted, that we Jews are connected to Hashem. We have Erisin, we have Nesuin, we have Chuppah, we have Ksuba with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And no matter what happens, and no matter how far we stray, we are always connected to Hashem. And there will always be a return to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu received and accepted that tefillah and put the Shekhinah back into Yaakov Avinu for that bracha. This pasuk is announcing and projecting that point. Yeah.
There's Binyamin and Yehuda, but there's also Levi, because we know there's Kohanim.
Yes.
So there's really only 9 tribes that are lost.
It's really 10 because there are 13 total.
So it depends if you count Levi one way or Ephraim and Manasseh separate.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
His
tefillah was that Hashem should put the Shekhinah back into Yaakov Avinu. That was his tefillah. But it was in the ischus of his being mekadesh the inyan of marriage.
But when he had gotten the ketubah and everything from his wife, like, isn't she supposed to be the holder of it?
That's a technical issue. It's a good question. Where did he get it from? It's a good question. That's a good point.
He knew he was going to need it, so he borrowed it from him.
That's it.
She also came with.
The Medrash says that she was the daughter of Dinah and Shechem, right? Which also, right, is another form of the misuse of the relationship between a husband and wife, a man and woman, right? That's right.
For those of you who do catch up online with this class, and if you access it through Torah Media Atlanta, you should be aware that Yisrael Killian, who runs Torah Media Atlanta, reached out because donations to that site are down. For those of you who do take advantage of it, I would suggest making a donation online when you do use it so that he can continue that site.